The General Services Administration is facing 24 bid protests over 3 high-profile strategic sourcing programs, and these 24 complaints may just be the beginning of a busy season for GSA when it comes to bid protests. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is writing about the flood of protests in his biweekly feature Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and he's here now to talk about what's going on at GSA. Jason, these strategic sourcing issues, the programs, seem like they're tailor-made for protests just by the way that the government has to go about doing them. It's nothing that they're doing on purpose, but the nature of the way they're doing them seems like they're almost creating these problems inherently in the process. Is that fair to say?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, and I would say that they are doing it on purpose. They are limiting the competition. At least that's according to Roger Waldron, the president of Coalition for Government Procurement. He feels like when you look at what's going on with strategic sourcing, and we're going to talk about these three specifically, but when you look at the whole entire effort, it's going from a lot of winners to a few winners, and that's going to upset those who are losers. Let's be honest here. So I think you're absolutely right in your analysis of this.
Yeah, which are the three that we're talking about here specifically, Jason?
So we're going to talk about three. The office supplies three. Now this is in the solicitation phase, so meaning they've just released the RFP for it. We're going to also, the other one is MRO, maintenance, repair, operations. They just have made awards for this one. And then the third one is Oasis Small Business, which is a different kind of strategic sourcing. This is for complex professional services, and GSA 2 just made awards under Oasis Small Business. So you have one in RFP stage, two in the award stage, and all three of them are not making vendors very happy. So let's start with Oasis, because I think that's the big one. Now, if you remember, Oasis is all about, hey, how are agencies buying professional services? How can GSA make it easier for them to buy what they call complex professional services? And how do you define complex professional services? Well, that's part of the problem. But what it is in basic terms is you're not just buying one type of service, but you're finding a multi-dimensional type of services across all these different platforms, like management consulting services, but not just, hey, help us understand this one topic, but many topics. And the issue here is of the, they made 123 different awards, but not 123 companies won. And of those unsuccessful companies, 14 protested to the Government Accountability Office. So they're not happy there either. The other thing that's happening is around, the MRO, which they actually made awards to the other day, a total about 11 contractors for about 100,000 different products, such as hand and power tools, hoses and valves, paint, safety equipment. You get it, the idea. And there was a ton of protesters there, about 9 as well. So as you can see, people are not happy with what's going on.
Yeah, and these three programs encompass really a lot of the ground where strategic sourcing is at least where the government's trying to practice strategic sourcing right now. So this is a big deal.
Oh, I think absolutely, and it's really in many ways just the beginning, because the other one that's coming up on the horizon is Oasis Unrestricted, or really for large businesses, and this is again a huge program that there will be only a certain number of winners and a certain number of losers, and if you're not a winner, you will probably protest because of how big the market is, something like over a $1 billion market. And even like the Air Force, take the Air Force for example, they've already committed to spending $500 million through Oasis. Now, this is for both contracts, small business and unrestricted version. But the point is that when you have commitments like that, and MRO had commitments, and office supplies has commitments, people get very frustrated with, hey, I'm not a part of this. Well, I'm going to have to protest because I don't want to be cut out of the market. So that's in the next couple months, I think what you're going to see is more Oasis protests, specifically large businesses.
What's the kind of timeline that these contracts will run? I'm just thinking, for that amount of money to be shut out, there's also a time factor involved. If I don't make it, if I lose, I know that for this much money and this amount of time, I'm essentially out of this kind of business with the federal government. And it's pretty substantial, I would imagine.
It is, absolutely. Now, GSA will tell you, well, this is not the only vehicle. There's other vehicles. But you're talking about a five-year base with usually a five-year option period, so 10 years. Now, GSA, to their credit, has been smart about the design of these contracts. They have had on-ramps and off-ramps, meaning especially, for instance, in the small business Oasis, if you outgrow your size standard, you'd automatically go, as long as you meet certain goals, to the unrestricted version, then this that would open the door for new small businesses. Now, for the large business, they may say, well, if you're not on, we'll have on-ramps later down the road for new companies who then could show that why they deserve to be on. But that's no guarantee either. So you're right. If you don't make the contract, you're at least you feel like you're in deep trouble. So protesting may be your only avenue way to fix the problem.
And I imagine if you haven't heard yet from companies who might be poised to make that transition, you will in the future, that, hey, wait a minute, I was competing when I got on this contract with a bunch of small businesses. Now I've just barely made it out of that program, and I'm competing against everybody of every size, and that's really hard to do.
Well, absolutely, and one of the things about that is that you're successful, but you've outgrown your small business size standard. So now, and that's part of the complaint I've heard over the last decade or so, is that you're either large or you're small. And if you're small and you become large, then all of a sudden you go from competing with people your own size to competing with people your own size plus, 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 like, you know, anywhere from the Lockheed Martins that have $1 billion in contracts to someone who, like you, has maybe $30 or $40 million in contracts. And that's why over the years there's been push for this small, medium size, large and extra large type of size standards. But that, Francis, that could be a whole different conversation for us.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that these problems are simple to fix and that there is something that somebody's not paying attention to, just that these are things that it seems to me are bound to happen as events unfold with these contracts over the next couple of years.
And I think you're right. I think that's some of the questions will start coming up. And remember, one thing about this administration that we should keep in mind is they've said time and again, you heard this just last week when Beth Cobert testified over with the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee about management issues. She really pressed the fact that strategic sourcing is going to be here to stay. Dan Tangerlini, the administrator of GSA, who's partnering with OMB on a lot of these initiatives, said the same thing. They have five contracts already set up, six more in the works. So this is not going to change anytime soon. And I think there's a concern that's really coming across from vendors and within Congress. And I think Congress is slow to get on board about what strategic sourcing could potentially do to the industrial base. Because remember, if you limit your, let's say, office supplies, because I think that's the best example, to 15 or 20 companies, well, what happens in 5 years from now when what if those 20 companies are down to 7, but you have nobody else with past performance data in the government? So even if you want to get in the government, you can't because you haven't been able to get any business for so long. And I think that's not being understood very well, or if it is, it's not. Maybe the administration doesn't worry about that as much.
Another thing that you're writing about inside the reporter's notebook is the Whopper Networks contract from the General Services Administration. GSA listing 5 lessons learned in the transition of the networks contract, but some industry people that you talk to have expressed some other lessons that they would think that GSA might need to learn.
You know, and I'll give Mary Davey, who wrote this blog post, and we do have a link to it on federalnewsradio.com, a lot of credit because the GSA, I think, made some mistakes during this transition period, and I think they are trying to learn from it. But the question is, and I think that, as you're referring to, Diana Gowan, who is Senior Vice President and General Manager for CenturyLink Public Sector and one of those network service providers on the contract, she has said, listen, you need to maybe even assign people instead of just saying, well, we need to do this, this, and this, but maybe we need to assign agency X goes with this company, agency Y goes with that company, who win the follow-on work on the follow-on contract called NS 2020, Network Services 2020. And I think part of that frustration is because of the statement of work process, you know, they had to go through the whole bid and proposal, and that took so long. And then you had the new rules around task order, bid protests, going back around to protests. And I think the length of time it took just frustrated both vendors and agencies alike and wasted, and this is Diana Gowan, and GSA has said wasted millions of dollars, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars if they could have gotten the transition done more quickly.
Now, the pricing that GSA was able to realize, Mary writes, saved more than $678 million compared to FTS 2001. So it sounds like there is some success there that they can apply along with these network lessons learned through networks to the next generation. What's that look like and what's the status of it?
Well, I think is what GSA has been very clear about this whole time about NS 2020. It's not going to be one contract. This is an acquisition strategy, not an acquisition per se. So I think that's smart. But at the same time, we're not sure what the strategy is going to look like in terms of how many different contracts will there be? What will those contracts be for? And the way that network services has changed over the last 5-7 years. You know, we're talking about cloud computing now. We're talking about, you know, voice over IP. We're talking about a lot of different capabilities and delivery methods. And I think GSA is doing their research to try to incorporate all of that. So they've reached out to places like Tech America. They've reached out to ACT IAC to ask for best practices and ask for suggestions. So I think there's a lot of people in industry are very excited, very interested to see what comes from all these recommendations, how GSA will put those into play. Now, Diana Gowan did talk about, you know, where, what could happen. And she said she's seen to me, she told me she saw some, you know, one page ideas about where NS 2020 will look like. And she says the GSA still may be missing the boat on certain things, the way services are delivered, the way the fact that certain things can go on the schedule because they are considered commodity now. So she says she expects something, a draft RFI maybe, or just a full RFI to come out in the coming months, maybe by the fall.
So we only have a minute or so left, Jason. Another note that you have inside the reporter's notebook is the Acquisition Excellence Conference happening Thursday, and you will be moderating a panel there, and then I'm going to have some fun with some folks not too long after that.
Exactly. That should be a great conference. I remember going last year, and it was just so many good speakers, and my panel is on, you know, data transparency and procurement. I have Karen Picka from OMB. I have Catherine Ho from Treasury. And Paul Brubaker from DOD. So that's going to be a great panel. You are doing Jeopardy.
Yeah, we had Martha Przuko on the program talking about this a couple days ago, and she said we're going to play Jeopardy in the afternoon, and I jokingly said, well, if you want me to come host it, I'll do it. And coincidentally, Mary Davey is going to be one of the contestants. Elliot Branch from the Navy is going to play, and a number of other folks. And they said they actually emailed me later and said, would you come do it? So
look at that.
You
volunteered.
you never know what happens just by asking. Thank you very much, as always. I love Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Jason.
My pleasure.
Executive Editor Jason Miller, and you can read Inside the Reporter's Notebook now on federalnewsradio.com.